of our soul and fresh awakenings arise within us. May the almighty angels of light glisten in all things this day. May they summon us to reverence. May they call us to life. Amen. Those are the words of a writer and spiritual guide named John Philip Newell. John Philip Newell is a Celtic spiritual guide, rooted in a tradition of deep spirituality. The Celtic Church movement continues within the Christian movement as a way of seeing deeper and living deeper in a very incarnated way. So I chose to start with him this morning because of many of the writers that I know talking about Epiphany. He does what I think I would call a really wonderful job of explaining Epiphany, if one can explain Epiphany. So he writes, the word Epiphany simply means showing or shining forth. Divine light shines forth from the Christ child. But, he writes, it should not be so much understood as the appearance of God as the transparency of God. The divine light that lights in the child or shines in the child is not a foreign light to the earth. It is the light at the heart of all life. It is the light from which all things come. If somehow this light were extracted from the universe, everything would cease to exist. So this is a story about the light at the heart of everything, the light at the heart of you, the light at the heart of me. Newell continues, look around you now at the people next to you. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. At the life forms growing from earth, at the radiance of the sun or the whiteness of the moon, and look also into your own heart. There, in all things, is the light. Maybe it is deeply hidden under confusions or falseness, but it is there waiting to come forth anew. In the Christ child, this light shines. He is our epiphany, our showing. In him we see the light of life. So welcome to this ongoing season of showing, of epiphany, of light. Last week we talked a bit about some of the ways that we can block seeing the light. And one of those ways I spoke about last week was expectations. When we have expectations about how the world is and how people are going to be, we can be distracted from seeing how they really are. And so we continue on this second epiphany to look for the light. This morning, in our first reading, which was about the boy Samuel, and in our gospel reading, which was about Jesus and the disciple Nathanael, we have a lot about listening, as Samuel had to do, and Eli, his mentor, had to do. And in this gospel, a lot of seeing beyond what presents itself on the surface. You see, in this gospel this morning, John's gospel, Nathanael, Jesus could be nothing more than a simple Jew from an insignificant town in Galilee. In fact, it was from Lower Galilee, the other side of the tracks, the camel tracks, I mean. A place where there was nothing that was good that came from there. It was a stinkhole of a place. It was a village of 200 to 400 people. Not a prosperous place. It was not a special place at all. Never mentioned in the Hebrew Scriptures. Much less say that it was a place where the Messiah would come from. No. No, it seems in John's Gospel that many of Jesus' contemporaries make the same mistake as Nathanael in appraising Jesus and his message. They don't see what is there. And what we say is there is contrary to all human expectations. It is God's very own eternal word made available to us in the life of a human being from Nazareth. So what is Jesus' response? Well, it's very kind. He's very welcoming. In fact, he says, in an older translation, here is an Israelite without any guile. Guile, there's a word we don't use very often, G-U-I-L-E. It's translated here as deceit. In other words, he is what he is. What you see is what you get with Nathanael. No deceit, straight shooter. And he invites this straight shooter to come and be with him. But Nathanael wants to know, how do you know about me? And Jesus says, I saw you. I saw you. There's an exercise I do with a group when we're first together. Usually it's a large group, and maybe we're going to be doing some time deepening our spirits together. And when we introduce ourselves to each other, I invite people to turn to each other and to say, I see you. But to do it slowly, and not to just move on to the next person, but to have the other person look back at them and say, I see you. And you know, in that exercise, it's far different than just going around the room and introducing yourself. It actually wakens people up to the presence of another person there in front of them. And when they say or have said to them, I see you, it does some pretty amazing things. It usually brings about, at the end of it, a great deal of silence. A great sense that maybe we have been about something that speaks of the holy. So when Jesus says, I saw you, it's not just that he's saying, I saw you under the tree in that place that you like to go. It was, I saw you. And Nathanael is invited to come and see Jesus, to learn what this light is all about, to learn and to see the light of Christ. Jesus tells us that we will find him, recognize him also in each other, and especially in those considered to be the least among us, No one is too poor or too needy to be excluded. Everyone has the light within them, no matter where they're from a stinkhole or any other place. They all bear the light within them. And we are called to find a way to see. But what is it that gets in our way? What is it that hinders us in this process? Well, we have talked about expectations, but it's other things too. It's our preconceptions. How do we see this thing? How have we preconceived this? We've heard of preconceived notions, expectations, and prejudgments. Another word for that is prejudice, but prejudgments of what a person is or what we can expect of them. And those kinds of attitudes and ways of being blind us. They make the other person not there. They make them something that is a prejudgment, an expectation, or a preconception. And that diminishes their light. And it diminishes the light of us who do the looking and seeing. And so this day of Epiphany 2, we ask that God open us, that God give us sight to see that which is blinding us. Because our preconceptions, our expectations, our prejudgments of God and of God's presence in the world and in each other can prevent us from an authentic encounter with the Holy. An encounter that would likely be life-giving and life-changing. So, brothers and sisters, may the mighty angels of light glisten in all things and in all people today. May our eyes be opened. May we come to this altar and table and see the glistening presence of the risen Lord. May we see it in each other as we come forward, and may we leave this place opening our eyes to what glistens all around us, what calls us to life. Amen.